As we continue to pray for the Charlie Kirk family, with a grieving widow with having two small children who have lost their father by assassination. And we also are concerned about the family of the young man, the father having turned in his son, recognizing him in the video as the assassin. Well, we would also pray that this young man would have an opportunity to learn the truth, to obey the gospel of Christ and be forgiven of his sins, including murder, before he meets the sentencing that is coming in the future. Well, we understood that hate was involved here. Yes, a conservative voice who had spoken on many college campuses was getting quite a lot of pushback from those who we term on the left, those who support abortion, for example, and transgenderism, other sins that are condemned in the Word of God. Homosexuality is a sin. We love those who state that they're in this sin. We love their soul and want to see them obey the gospel. Transgenders, yes, who are all confused, not understanding the truth, we love their soul as well. Those that have been involved in abortion, we love their soul. But we need to understand sin is against God. And if God hates sin, then we must also hate sin. But not the people. We're not to have hate in our heart for anyone. You know, instead of seeking revenge or hating anyone that disagrees with us, why not heed the master teacher, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? As Christians, we should know and follow the teachings of Christ our Lord. We're to be the salt of the earth, having flavor and preserving the doctrine of Christ here on the earth as we strive to follow His teaching through the Holy Scriptures. We're to reflect the light of the Son, capital S-O-N. Yes, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, to help eliminate this hatred and strife, Matthew 5:13-16. So this morning, let's go to the Sermon on the Mount and study Matthew 5:38-48, and then also Matthew 7:12, and ask this question: what does Christ, our Lord, teach concerning how should we treat our fellow man, including our enemies? And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Remember the initials, PFE. That helps us prepare for eternity every day. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, Indiana. We come together in our Bible classes, of course, to study God's precious Word. As we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, John 4:24, that is, having a proper attitude and following the New Testament pattern which God has given us. Now, we want to mention this. We're always glad to have Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a time at your convenience, please let us know. We'll open up God's Word and study together. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. And your Bible questions and comments, they're always welcome. The comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. One other thing before we get into our study this morning, Brother John Grubb and his good wife, Sister Etta, are planning to be with us today, and Brother John will report on the work they're doing in Southeast Asia, like in Singapore and Indonesia and Malaysia, other places, and to preach a sermon for us after the Bible class hour, giving the report. So hope you can come and learn about mission work in Southeast Asia. Now let's get to our study. We're asking, what does Christ our Lord teach concerning how should we treat our fellow man, including our enemies? We'll start out with Matthew 5, 38 through 40. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, in the Old Testament, the law of retaliation was a good law. And this is what our Lord and Savior taught concerning retaliation in Matthew 5, 38 through 40. Well, again, when that law was used in the Old Testament properly, it was good. So it was to protect the weak from the strong and the just from the unjust. It was to be held up by the authorized magistrates, not a private revenge. That's not what was taught in the Old Testament, as some had thought. Well, what do we have today going on with gaming? Young people are being influenced in the chat rooms, TV shows, politicians, hate speech. That influences quite a bit, and thus there's going to be retaliation when a person strikes out against who they believe is their opposition. So we need to know, what is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning retaliation? As he said here in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, let's go back to Exodus 21, 23 through 25. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. We could look at also Leviticus 19, 18, Deuteronomy 19, 15 through 21, and so forth. But now, we're seeing Jesus teach his followers to have a spirit of love rather than yearning for revenge. Turning the other cheek, giving one's coat, is showing a spirit of love and attitude, word and deed, all three. Now let's go to Romans 12, 17 through 19, and notice the inspired Apostle Paul writing to the Church of Christ in Rome. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Are we following that? Are we following our Savior's teaching concerning retaliation and staying with Matthew 5, 38 through 40, we'll be so much better off if we do that. Now let's go on in our study and notice, what is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning going the second mile. Matthew 5:41-42. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. What motivates us to do good works? To be seen of men, or to glorify God? Well, hopefully it's to glorify God. That's what it should be. So going beyond that which is expected is going the second mile. Now, the Roman government officers could compel the Jews to go a mile to show them the way or carry loads without pay. If the compelled Jew were to go 2 miles, what would the officer see? He would see that this man is not angry, but he's interested in helping this Roman soldier. And thus, good could come from that, could it not? Well, of course it could. Now, let's notice what can be found on the road of the second mile. Peace, for example. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number 2, what can be found on the road of the second mile? Not only peace, but beauty. That's right, a beautiful character. Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Most people's feet are not beautiful, we'll have to admit. But we should understand what the scripture here is revealing to us. Yes, what is that person that's doing? What are they doing that's so beautiful? Well, they're preaching the gospel of peace and bringing glad tidings of good things, this preacher. So that's what makes the feet of them beautiful. Now, here's the third thing on the road of the second mile. Grace through voluntary obedience. Yes, he's receiving no pay, going with the soldier the second mile. He even didn't get any pay for the first mile, did he? But notice 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Yes, the grace of God, and by submitting to God's will, and as we become Christians, and we're followers of Christ, then what are we doing? We're representing Christ. Grace through voluntary obedience, as we're seeing here in going the second mile. But let's go on in our study. What is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning his higher law of love? Now we go to Matthew 5:43-44. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, again, under the law of Moses, the Israelites were forbidden to make peace with the Canaanite nations. Exodus 34:11-16, Deuteronomy 23:6. And because of this, the Jews grew to hate their enemies, but they were to love their neighbor, Leviticus 19:18. Well, I don't believe God ever wanted the Jews to hate anyone, but they were to hate the sin that went on with the pagan nations, and they were not to become like them and go into idolatry, as they often did in their history, as we know. But here, in verse 44, Jesus gives his higher law of love. Not only should we love our neighbors, but also our enemies. Does that mean that we're to have affection for those who are wicked and those who hate and mistreat us? No. No, not at all. Because the word for love here is not a friendship love. Phileo, Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love. This is not that word in the Greek, but it's agape, agapu. The love that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. That's this higher love that we're talking about. Did the world love God back? Do you see the love that God has for everyone, regardless of who they are, what they've done, if they obey the gospel? They can receive the forgiveness of their sins by the blood of Christ. Now, we certainly have strong feelings of affection towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have strong affection for our families, our friends and neighbors, do we not? We certainly should. So Jesus is not saying to have these strong feelings of affection toward our enemies, but a will to do good toward all men. This is the key. If I love my enemies, I'm wanting to see them obey the gospel and become my brother in Christ. I'm wanting to see them do what's right before God. I have that attitude, and I'm going to rejoice when they do the right thing. I'm not going to have hate in my heart for the enemy that I may have. You know, the Lord, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, answered the question by the lawyer, "Who is my neighbor?" Luke 10:25-37. The answer in that parable was anyone in need. A certain man fell among robbers and thieves, left for dead. Didn't say who he was, Jew or Gentile. Didn't give his qualifications, no. Just a certain man. And he needed help. And the Samaritan was the only one that was willing to help him and did. The priest and Levite walked on by. One came and looked. That's all. Now, let's go to Romans 12:19-21, as this will tell us how to overcome evil. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Is that what we see in our country today? With so many wanting to get back, espousing hate. Well, that's not following Christ, is it? Do we not need to get back to the Bible as a country? Well, of course we do. And everybody should see it. But so many have been deceived by you know who, the adversary, Satan. We should desire the ultimate good for our enemies, that they would repent of their wickedness and turn to God rather than to desire revenge. You know, if our enemies turn to God because of our obeying Christ's higher law of love, then they become our friend and brother. And therefore, good would have overcome evil, would it not? Galatians 6:10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Notice Matthew 5:45 now. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Yes. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Have we noticed that God blesses those that even deny him? That's right. The atheist, agnostic, skeptic, whoever. Those that take God's name in vain and curse him are receiving blessings from God every day. God has this kind of love for all men, and if we're a Christian, what are we to do? That's right. We're to do likewise. We're to follow Christ as a Christian. What does that mean? It means following Christ, does it not? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? And of course, John 3:16, we quoted earlier. Jesus is giving his higher law of love, and that law is commanding us to have the same kind of love that he and his Father have, and of the Holy Spirit as well. That's right. But let's go on. What is our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning being mature in the faith? 46-48, back to chapter 5 we go. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Notice verse 48. Be therefore perfect, mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, verses 46 and 47 reveal that the publicans, yes, who were tax collectors, of whom some would cheat the people, even wicked men can have affection for those close to them. It's easy to love a loving person and to greet someone who greets us, isn't it? But we must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus said this back in verse 20 of Matthew 5, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what if God only selected the ones on earth that are, just certain ones that are the elect, like John Calvin thought? What if God only loved these select ones on earth? Look at Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Again, God didn't just select certain ones. Jesus died for all. Now, verse 48, we're to be of the same mind as God, to be God's children. We're to be like our Heavenly Father. The only way we can do this is to study and to obey the doctrine and teachings of Christ. To be perfect does not mean sinless perfection. We can't do that. But to be mature in the faith as Christians, we can. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, perfect in a mature sense. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Unless we're following the teachings of Christ, we cannot have his mind in us. See Colossians 3:16-17. Now, let's go on. What was our Lord and Savior's teaching concerning how we should treat others? Let's go to chapter 7 in Matthew now, verse 12. We all should know this verse, the golden rule it's referred to as that. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What would happen if everyone treated others like they wanted to be treated? This is God's way. It's not man's way. It's not from the philosophies of man. It's from God. And it works. Are we like Jeremiah, who allowed God to direct his steps? Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. We need to be with that mindset. We can't do it. We must turn to God and allow Him to direct our steps in this life. Who has given us the greatest example of forgiveness? We need to certainly mention this in our study this morning. Notice what Jesus prayed for on the cross. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots underneath our Lord and Savior on the cross. Yes, that's right. That was the attitude of Christ. If we are unwilling to forgive our fellow man as they repent, we need not expect God to forgive us. Matthew 6:14-15, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We better understand that. As we follow the example of Christ, let us remember that we as Christians are different. Maybe not look different than physical situation. We certainly need to dress modestly and not like the world. But following the example of Christ, we're going to be set apart from the world. That's right. Different. And what can make a major difference in this sinful world is faithful Christians having a godly influence. Again, that goes back to Matthew 5:13-16, doesn't it? So those of us in the Lord's church, the church of Christ, let us be determined and not allow the world to influence us to do evil. And if you would take the time, study 2 Corinthians 6:13-18. But our time is running short. Let me mention this. We must hate sin because God does, Romans 12:9. But we cannot hate our fellow man and inherit eternal life. Galatians 5:19-21, we can disagree without being hateful and never, never, never compromise the truth, though, to get along. No, that's not necessary to compromise the truth. Stay with God's word, buy the truth and sell it not. So are we part of the problem of hatred and strife? Or are we overcoming evil with good by reflecting the light of the only begotten Son of God? Are we true followers of Christ by really applying His teaching? Have we obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ, and we thank you so much for listening today.